And so this morning, I want us to think about a new mindset for you seniors graduating. I think this mindset is critical for you as you go throughout the rest of your life and inevitably have to interact with people. A lot of what we're going to look at this morning in Philippians chapter 2 is how we interact with other people. In the past couple of years, the reasons for someone quitting their job, there's been a lot of studies done on why do people quit their job, and I don't know if you know, right now we're in this period of time that's called the Great Resignation. But even through that, and this reason has been true for many, many years, that one of the main reasons people quit their job is because they can't get along with their boss or their coworkers. Just can't get along for whatever reason. They feel like it's a toxic environment. Maybe their boss isn't very nice, doesn't appreciate them. Coworkers make life hard on them. And just because people can't get along, that's one of the main reasons that people have left their jobs. For you seniors, as you transition into this next stage of life, there's a good chance you'll be required to rub shoulders with people that you are different from, that you don't like, maybe they don't like you. We've all probably found ourselves in that position at some point in life, right? That we're alongside of people that, for whatever reason, we're stuck with them and we might not get along. And isn't that strange? You know, why can't we get along? Why is there hostility between people? Because it's easy to find all over the place. And I believe, and the Bible supports this thought, that most of our disagreements really find their root in an abundance of pride in ourselves and a complete lack of humility in ourselves, right? In my own life and people that I've had disagreements with, if I'm honest, the root of many of those things is my own pride overflowing and my own humility way back in the background. And yet, if we could flip that around, if we could have an abundance of humility and a lack of pride, what a drastic change that would make on every interaction that we have with other people. And so for all of us, that's a great question. How is it that we come off to other people? How do we interact with other people? Because the reality of living life is that we are in this with all the people around us, our family, our friends, your coworkers, peers. Your kids, right? All of that, you're stuck with them. And so God has some direction for us of how do we live our lives alongside of those people, even people that that may not be our favorite. And so my goal really for the remainder of our time is to look at Philippians 2, 1 through 11 and show how it's possible to put on this new mindset through Jesus that would help me to demonstrate that kind of humility, that kind of lack of pride, that kind of humility towards all the people that I come into contact, all the people that I'm going to rub shoulders with tomorrow and in the future beyond that, even to act in humility towards people that are hostile to me. And so if you have the sermon outline in the bulletin in front of you, then you can see the sentence at the bottom, which is where we're going. And so I really want to give away my ending at the start here because I think you're going to see it unfold really clearly in Philippians 2 as I read it in a moment. And it's this thought, if my clicker, beep, there we go. It's that demonstrating the love of Jesus requires bowing your knee to King Jesus. Demonstrating the love of Jesus, being humble in that way and having an abundance of humility come out of my life is not something that's natural to me. I'm a pretty competitive person. I have four siblings and we're all competitive. We just had a family gathering recently, and not to brag, but I brought home all the trophies that were there to take. Dad, if you're listening, better luck next time. It is very natural to me to try to be first. And I think that's true for a lot of us in different areas, right? That comes out in different ways. But we like to win. We like to be important. And our self-importance can get in the way of caring about people around us that desperately need to be cared for. And so we need this kind of supernatural love. And the only way to get there, the only way to love people like that, the way that Jesus intended, is through Jesus himself. The context for 2 The second chapter of Philippians is really summarized in chapter 1 and verse 27. I'll read it in a second here. And it says that if you have heard the gospel of Jesus, if you have believed in the gospel of Jesus, then the gospel of Jesus ought to change you. And so Philippians 1, 27 begins this way: only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Live your life in step with the gospel. If you say you live for Jesus, your life should and will reflect that truth, both in the way that you operate yourself and the way that you operate towards other people. And what does it look like to live for Jesus? Right, that's a great question for those of us that claim the name of Jesus. What does it mean that I would live for Jesus? Like, practically, how do I do that this afternoon? How do I do that tomorrow? And I think that's the question that Paul is going to answer here at the beginning of Philippians chapter 2. He's just told them to live like the gospel is real. And so really quickly, I want to summarize, what is the gospel? What is it about Jesus that ought to result in this change that we're going to talk about and the ability to be humble? What is it about Jesus that brings about that kind of change? And the really simple truth is that Jesus changes everything for a person that would bow their knee to him. That we would see our own pride, our own shortcomings, our own sinfulness, and we would be broken over that sin. Not just to write it off and say, God will forgive me anyway, but to realize that because of my sin, God is separate from me. But the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of Jesus is that because of Jesus' death on the cross, all of my sin, all of my hostility towards him, all of my pride will be forgiven if I would humbly come to the foot of the cross where Jesus gave his life for my sin and for your sin. That's the beauty of the gospel. And so that truth, if that's true of you, that ought to change everything. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you know what it means to have all of your sins forgiven. That's a life-changing thing. That ought to alter the way that you think, like we're going to talk about this morning, the way you interact with people, your goals in life. All of that changes when you place your faith in Jesus. And so, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul's going to help flesh that out for us. What does it look like to be a follower of Jesus? And so in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 give us this mindset of a follower of Jesus, and then verses 6 through 8 describe Jesus' own mindset itself. And so let me read this. You can follow along. I believe it's page 980. If you want to grab one of those Bibles in the pew in front of you, Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I'd love for you to follow along with me as I read. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The mindset of a Jesus follower is first marked by people being unified by Jesus. The book of Philippians is a letter that Paul wrote, and our students went through the book of Philippians this semester, and I thought about quizzing them up here, but then I was afraid they wouldn't know the answers. That would reflect badly on me, so because of my pride, I didn't do that. But the book of Philippians is a letter that Paul wrote to a church family, to a group of people. A church is not a building. Maybe you said this morning you're coming to church, and in a sense that's true. You're coming to be with the church, but this is just the church building, as I affectionately call it. This is the place that we meet, but the church is people. And so Paul is writing to this church, and he's encouraging them about how they can live lives that are in step with the gospel. And for a church, followers of Jesus in a local community ought to be different from the outset because of who they choose to place themselves alongside. I've talked before about the need that we have for us to get along with people that are different than us. And we're forced to be around people that maybe we don't like. But the beauty of the gospel is that within a church family, you intentionally put yourself in a place where you're with people that are different than you, where you're intentionally surrounded by people that are very different than you, that think differently than you. And I'm extremely thankful for that myself because I'm a bit weird. I'm left-handed. I have red hair, so students usually ask me if that means, do you have a soul if you're redheaded? Is that I'm a bit different, and I'm thankful that in a church body, in a church family, I can be unified with other people. We can be on the same page, even though we think very differently. We can be on the same page because we've been brought together through Jesus. It's not like this all the time, but most of the time, just to demonstrate how different I can be. A lot of times when I ride in the car, I ride in total silence. I love listening to absolutely nothing. Except around Christmas time, I do like Pentatonix's Christmas album, and so I play that on repeat. But I'm really thankful that even though we are all a little bit eccentric, and if everybody here was honest and we all wanted to have an open mic time and share how weird we are, we would probably learn some very interesting things. And the beauty of the gospel is that a group of very different people can be brought together in this place on a Sunday morning and all throughout the week, where we can share in Christ, where we can share that common forgiveness that we've all experienced, and our desire to see other people come to know Jesus, and our desire to grow and become more like him. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, "Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos all tuned to the same fork are automatically tuned to each other? They are of one accord being tuned, not to each other, but to another standard to which each must individually bow." If you took 100 pianos and you tuned piano 1 to piano 2 and then 2 to 3 and you kept that going, piano 1 and 100 would be very, very different. I'm not a musical person, but I trust A.W. Tozer. If all the pianos are tuned to the same tuning fork, then the effect is that they're also in tune to each other. And so for us as a church family, this is an encouragement for us to be in tune to Jesus, because if we're in tune to Jesus, then we will rightly be in tune to one another. And so it makes sense that Paul begins this list of what does it mean to be a Jesus follower by hammering away at the unity that's gained among a group of people that would see Jesus as the standard for their lives. It's all over the first two verses of Philippians chapter 2, that we would have this encouragement in Christ, that we'd be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. And so it's no surprise that we'd be called to be unified in Jesus. And secondly, it's no surprise that we would be called to humility, to be humble towards each other. As followers of Jesus, one of the marks of our lives ought to be humility. Sometimes, even though the target might be humility, if we're not careful, we can go a step too far with that thought, and we can cause it to create this kind of self-imposed atmosphere of incompetence, or even something as severe as putting myself down, degrading myself, self-deprecation. And the problem with that line of thinking is that humility is really about taking the eyes off of myself and putting my eyes on someone else. Humility is about taking my eyes off myself and putting it on someone else. Or as I've heard put it, humility is not thinking less of myself, but it's thinking of myself less. If you look at verse 4 again in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2 and verse 4, here's what it doesn't say. Don't look out for your own interests and only look out for the interests of others. Right? It's not what it says. That's not what Paul is arguing for, that we would constantly demote ourselves and abandon values of our own, that misses the point of humility because it puts the focus on us. If I'm always thinking about how bad I am, that's not humility. That's a very kind of dangerous life, a dangerous line of thinking to live, to put myself down. The point of humility is that I would look up and around to others, that as I look out for my own interests, my eyes wouldn't be focused down on what I'm doing, but my eyes would be up and looking around and seeing who is it that could use a word of encouragement? Who is it that needs help? And get my eyes off of myself and get my eyes on someone else. Selfishness and pride like to bring along this idea that my own interests and my own ideas are the most important, and so everybody needs to hear them and know about them, and they need to know that I'm the best and I'm the smartest, and that kind of a lifestyle comes with a very heavy price, that people don't see you as loving. They're not going to ask you for help. They're going to maybe even shy away from that kind of a personality. And the problem is that pride is so easily invading our lives. It's so easy for us to be tricked into thinking that what we're doing matters most because we're passionate about the things that we're passionate about. All the little eccentricities that we have, we're passionate about those things. And so we want people to value them like we do. And so we can so easily get out of sorts. And the life that Paul's encouraging us to live is marked by this kind of supernatural humility, that I would take my eyes off of myself and I would put my eyes on others instead. And so a follower of Jesus is unified to other believers by Jesus. We're humble towards one another, and this new mindset results in caring for each other. All right, this is pretty simple, that we would love each other well. We would take care of each other, take care of each other's needs. We all want people to care about us. Everybody, I say this in youth group all the time because it's so true that there's a need to be cared for, because everybody wants to be wanted. Right? Everybody would love to know that there's somebody thinking about them, praying for them. Think about all the times in your life that somebody has come to you out of the blue and said, hey, I've been praying for you. Or maybe they ask a question about something going on and you didn't even realize that they were watching or that they cared. Those kind of things fill us up. Right? Everybody wants to be wanted. Everybody needs to be cared for. Especially for our students, there is such a need for us to be caring about one another. In the setting of youth group on Wednesday nights when we get together, there are certainly students there that are hurting and in need of help. And I'm only one person, and our youth leaders can't have all those conversations. And so students know they need to be part of those conversations. They need to be looking for their peers that are hurting. Certainly in a room this size, it's without a doubt that there are people who are hurting and in need of encouragement, that need someone to care about them. As a pastor, I know about a lot of those things, and I'm aware of a lot of those things, and we pray through those things, and we want to be as helpful as we can, and we try to align others to come and fill those gaps, fill those needs. But I'm sure that there are many other needs that I have no idea about. There are many other hurts and wounds that are going on that I might not have a clue about. And what our church family needs and what all of us need are people that care about us enough to see that, to know us enough to see when we're hurting and to understand that hurt and to ask good questions. We all need people to care for us. And so the mark of a Jesus follower is that kind of person that has their eyes off of themselves and on someone else. And this is where it takes that humility and puts it into action, that not only am I looking at other people and I'm seeing needs, but then I'm doing something about it. I'm trying to care for them. I'm letting them know that I'm here. I'm around, filling whatever kind of need there is. That kind of love in action is what ought to take place in a church family, and I'm really blessed to be able to see a lot of those things happen, and I know that in our church family, so many of those conversations take place, and so much of that love takes place all the time, and we're in desperate need for that to continue. That needs to be the atmosphere of our church, because as people, we're all frail. We all fall apart. We all need help, and we all need people to care for us, and so as we look to Jesus as this picture of humility. Certainly we can see this in Jesus as well, this need to care for people. And that kind of supernatural care and that kind of supernatural love is only something that can come through Jesus. Yes, there are lots of good people in this world, and there are people that meet needs, and certainly I don't want to discount that, but through Jesus, God's word tells us that we have a supernatural ability to have this mindset that Jesus had, that we would care for people, that we would meet needs that maybe would go unseen otherwise, that God's Spirit would prod us to move and to ask good questions, maybe to somebody that we don't know, or we see something going on and we want to help. The church needs those kind of people, and really our world needs that kind of people. The coworkers that you have need somebody that cares about them. They might not have anyone. It might look like they have it all together, but they probably don't. Your peers in school, they might have all the cool things. They might feel like it might look like they're doing really well. Social media posts might make it look like their life is just total bliss, but I can guarantee you that their life is not 100% bliss. That there's hurts and pains, and I know that just from interacting with our own students. And so we need to be people that care for one another well. So it makes sense that Paul would talk about this as a mark of someone who loves Jesus, a follower of Jesus. And then lastly, as we think about this mindset of a Jesus follower, what is it that we should be like? Well, this really comes straight out of verse 5, is that we should have a desire to become more like Jesus. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If you are a believer in Jesus, then you have been enabled to live with this new mindset by Jesus. It is yours in Jesus. It's important to realize that the word "this" in verse 5, have this mind, is about what comes after verse 5. And so in a second, we're going to look at Jesus and the mindset that Jesus had. And all throughout Scripture, that's what we're called to live like Jesus, to become more and more like Jesus throughout our lives, to pursue Him. So I picked out a few Scriptures. I've got these on the screen here. You can follow along with a few of these that just talk about our need to become more like Jesus. 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way which Jesus walked. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8:29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. For what? He predestined us to become conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. 1 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Then I want to end with Ephesians 5:1-2, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Jesus is the role model for anybody that claims to be a Christian. That is our role model. That is our example that we all strive towards. We should imitate him, the way he walked, the way he talked. We conform to his image. And that is a lifelong pursuit. The spoiler alert for you seniors, and many of you know this, is that none of us ever get there. We don't achieve perfection one day. We don't level up to level 100 and then we've arrived now and we're like spiritually superior. We never get there. We never get to be fully like Jesus, but that is a lifelong pursuit that God has called us to and enabled us to live by. And one promise I can make is that if you strive for that goal, even though you'll never get there fully, striving for that goal and desiring to become more and more like Jesus will result in a life that's filled with joy. It'll result in a life that is lived loving people well, so that at the end of your life, there would be people that would want to talk about the impact that you've made on them. We all want that. We all want to make a difference. We all want to have an impact in life. And I'm telling you, the greatest way to do that is through people. It's not about, and any other kind of success fades away and is forgotten and is gone, but if you would have an impact in people's lives, that is the kind of eternal impact that we ought to strive for. And so that's the goal, to become more like Jesus. And so if our aim is to be like Jesus, then a really good question is, what is Jesus like? And so that's where I want to end in these last few minutes, looking at the mindset of Jesus. And certainly, from Philippians 2, we see how humble Jesus is, how humble Jesus was for us. And we know from reading this passage earlier, as I read it, and the way we talk about Jesus now, that he is kingly. He is worthy of recognition for all of eternity. He is God the Son, and yet, in Philippians 2, it talks about equality with God not being a thing to be grasped. And really what that means is that Jesus didn't hold on to his deity. When he came to earth, he let go of his deity for a time. He experienced fully what it means to be human. Pastor Doug just spoke about this a couple weeks ago, that Jesus can not only sympathize with us, but he can empathize with us. He knows what it means to be human. He knows what it means to be frail. He knows the pain of loss and the emotional toll that it takes when people that he cares about are hurting. Jesus knows all of those things. And beyond that, Jesus allowed himself to be born a human, be born a servant, as Philippians 2 describes it. He could have been born as a king. He could have come into earth with all the majesty that he deserved and was rightfully his, but he didn't do that. He came to the world in an unthinkable, humble way. Not just in a lowly family like he was, but the place where he was born was a place fit for animals, not people. He spent his first night of sleep in a food trough. That's the God of the universe who created all things, who came to earth in that humble way. And he lived a perfect life. He lived a perfect life for us. Even though he was tempted in every way, just like we are, Jesus never gave in to sin. He never touched sin. He was perfectly holy through his entire life. And yet, when the opportunity came for him to go to the cross, he asked God, he said, God, if you could take this from me, please do so, but not my will, yours be done. Jesus humbly went to die for us, and not just to die any kind of death for us, but to die a death on the cross. Death on the cross was meant to be humiliating. That was the whole point of that punishment in the Roman society, that the cross would humiliate that person, that others would see it and they would shy away from that, that they'd be terrified of committing the same kind of crime. It was meant to be humiliating and gruesome and painful, and Jesus lived out this mindset of humility all the way to the end of his earthly life. Jesus was certainly humble, and the mindset of Jesus is loving. And that might not seem explicit from the text in Philippians 2, but the love of Jesus comes through loud and clear when you think about why Jesus humbled himself. Why is it that Jesus came to be born as a human baby? Why is it that Jesus humbled himself and set aside his deity for a time? Why is it that Jesus willingly and knowingly went to the cross to die for us in that way? And I think Jesus answered that question for us himself in John 15, 12 to 14. Jesus said, "This is my commandment," as he's talking to his disciples, "that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Jesus was the perfect picture of humility. Jesus is the perfect picture of love, truly in a supernatural way. And the beauty of Jesus on the cross is that he didn't just die for friends and for people that loved him and cared for him, but the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus even died for his enemies. And so I don't know where you're at this morning as you think about your relationship with God. Maybe you wouldn't say you're in the friend category with God. Maybe you've never confessed your sins to God. Maybe you would say God at times feels like more of an enemy, or feels like he's just out there waiting for his punishment to be unleashed on you. That doesn't have to be true of you. Jesus died on the cross so that not only his friends, but especially his enemies could be forgiven forever and be with him forever. Demonstrating the love of Jesus requires bowing your knee to King Jesus. If we're going to love people well, if we're going to live a life that has an eternal impact, for you seniors, as you go on to this next stage of your life and you think about all the people that you're going to interact with, some of you have gotten to know on social media your roommates and stuff in college, and you're trying to figure out what they're going to be like and how weird they are. God is calling you to care about those people, to be humble as you interact with them. For all of us, the people that we're going to rub shoulders with this afternoon, maybe our own family that we don't really get along, God is calling us to this supernatural kind of lifestyle that we would interact humbly and lovingly with all the people around us. And how is that even possible? It's only possible through Jesus himself, that if we would see Jesus for who he is, truly our King to worship and our King to follow. And so let me read Philippians 2, 9 through 11 again as we finish. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. My prayer is that we would all demonstrate that love of Jesus, because there are people, even in this very room, that need to experience that kind of love. And so, church, God is calling us to that. Seniors, God is calling you to that kind of lifestyle, and it is only possible through the person of Jesus if we would see him as Lord and bow our knee to him. Let me pray for us. God, I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for the transformational work you've done in my own life, that you made my own pride and sin apparent to me so that I could see my need for forgiveness. And I'm praying that there's anybody here that has never, God, seen your love outstretched to them. They see their sin maybe and they feel stuck in their sin. God, I'm praying that they would see your grace and mercy that was poured out through Jesus on the cross, that they would see that, and God, that they would cling to it, and they would believe in Jesus to be the Savior and Lord of their lives. And so, God, this morning, as a church family, we also want to live this out, and we know that we need you. And so, God, would you use our church family to love one another well and to love a lost and dying world around us? God, people desperately need the love of the gospel. They need to experience that from us who have been changed by you. And so, God, would you use us? Would you give us that kind of spiritual eyesight? We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.